翔くん、It's been a challenging time for me this past week, or we could say a number of weeks or months even. So challenges with mental health, with physical health. And I guess ultimately the effects it has with covering up presence. You could also refer to sense of peace. So perhaps there's no need to go into details in this episode. Maybe if it comes into my awareness that it's useful or that wants to be shared, then maybe at some point there can be a sharing of that. But just to note the challenges of life. Some that we may label big, some that we may label small. Often it's the small challenges that we make them big. So with the numerous challenges that's currently going through my life situation, you notice the shape that the mind wants to take, or it's in a form of a reaction, or perhaps a story. Perhaps there's a sense of the mind wanting to remember every small thing that you've gone through. Then you can relay that to somebody to say, well, I've gone through all of these things today, or it's been a tough week. And then of course there's a space for sharing and a space for almost a therapeutic offloading. But when it becomes habitual, without you even knowing that you're on that mental treadmill, and you've been on it for 20 minutes talking about the intricate details of what someone said and how their facial expressions were, and so anything done unconsciously, that's what needs to be brought into your own consciousness, your own awareness. It's the practice of bringing that awareness to your challenges and life situations. And this can be done in a big or small way. For myself, for instance, I have to approach it very delicately. The mind can be very unwell or unstable, lots of challenges, so you become almost friendly with what is challenging. Become gentle and kind to approaching what you want to bring awareness to. So it's not a cold sort of taking your sword of presence through something. Sometimes it may be needed. You may not need to have any other approach, but just to cut it, the thought or the story. And other times there may need to be a very mindful approach to and you may not need to change anything as well. It may just be the ever so subtle awareness to the situation. And all of this takes care of itself when you bring your own awareness, your intuition. And you can sense the energy within you. There may be, for instance, a great deal of energy to really investigate and go into whose thoughts are these? Or who was reacting a moment ago? Or who is talking right now in the middle of you talking about something, relaying something to somebody? You may suddenly catch yourself, am I aware? Am I choosing to talk about this, or is it just unconsciously, habitually happening? So for myself, it's the practice of simply bring awareness to the ongoing challenges, which is throughout the day. And for me, it's without the need to fix, without the need to, and it doesn't, again, it doesn't mean inaction, it just means there's no, you're not bringing attention to the practice of awareness. You're not bringing it with trying to bring the mind in almost with the awareness. When action is needed, it will come, solutions will come in that space of awareness. In the letting go often comes the deepest, oh, this is what I need to do, or and so on. So let's move on to a little bit of reading from Karma by Sadhguru. And this section is titled Human Beings as Bags of Karma. When I was age 4 or 5, I often saw people as hazy forms. If I just sat down in the living room and looked around at my family, my mother, father, brothers, sisters, I would see them as hazy beings like ghosts, moving here and there. If I was moving around or talking, they appeared as people. But if I simply sat, I would see them as smoky figures floating around. And once you see people as semi-solid, smoky beings, the whole drama of everyday life becomes utterly meaningless. Suddenly, my dad would come and ask, "What about your mathematics quarterly exam?" I had no idea what he was talking about. It was like watching television after pressing the mute button. One of the things that did not really make much of an impression on me was a person's gender. This would not register in my mind for a long time. Even later in my life, I never paid very much attention to the physical form of a person. What always drew my attention was a larger, hazier form that I could clearly see around them. I never felt the need to define these forms to myself. But I realized later that these were energy bodies that every living being carries. In yogic terminology, this is termed the prana maya kosha. It is possible to clearly see karma imprinted on this level. This may be difficult to grasp, but my mind is never inclined to understand anything that I see. If I don't see clearly, I look at something a little more attentively, but I don't make an effort to understand something intellectually. If you want to see keenly, you simply learn to sharpen your perception. If you look at a tree keenly enough, for instance, you don't need to read a gardening manual. You can assess whether it has received enough sunlight or water. That is what the yogic discipline is all about. Just learning to look. This is why I keep telling people around me, don't look for anything. Don't look for the meaning of life. Don't look for God. Just look. That's all. This is the fundamental quality of a spiritual seeker, as life is about seeing what is there, not about seeing what you want to see. Perhaps we'll pause it there for a moment. And we can refer to the practice of just looking to what I was sharing earlier about challenges and sharpening the perception of just looking, just being in that attentive space, and you're almost opening yourself up to the intelligence, to life to flow more at ease. When giving something to the mind, or when we are identified with the little me, there's a tendency to grasp something, to hold it tightly out of fear or out of the ego, and it narrows everything. Everything becomes congested, becomes limited. And you're almost cutting yourself off from life itself, from the source. You're fragmenting the experience. Okay, why does this have to happen to me, as Eckhart would often say. of course, it doesn't belittle the challenge, but you're now adding the mental structure of me to it as well, a heavy scaffolding to the challenge. Passage below is referring to people who are identified with this individuality. He's called it shaped by their karmic substance. And how this limitations are reflected in how reality or the world is perceived. We see that in our little me glasses. Look at the world, look at people as, and you can imagine the activity, the all of the mental, you're adding, you're creating more and more impressions, judging people. When you're without the awareness, there you are. On that treadmill again, without realizing. The time has come for human beings to transcend the distorting lens of karma, the lens that makes them confuse the projection for the real, their fragmented, memory-driven psychological creation for the incredible majesty of life itself. The time has come to wake up to the fact that there is only one crime against life, to make believe that you are something other than life. Unfortunately, our idea of individuality is separateness. And that is the basis of all suffering. And so, and it's noticing the shape that the mind takes when it's reacting, when it's in the individuality, in the person, and become familiar with that as well. A tendency for me is which is for many as well, when talking to somebody, losing my awareness in the talking. And catching myself in the middle of something that's being said, and questioning, oh, does that need to be said? Am I enjoying talking about what I'm talking about, or am I being dragged along by the mind that wants to say all of these things and more things? And saying the time has come now to transcend this distorting lens of karma. And I talked about the shape of individuality. It's the shape of our karmic substance, our tendencies, our habits, the impressions that have been made the software program that's within us. With me, that's the talking, the unconscious sharing, perhaps. And there's a wholeness to this as well, when moving from individuality to totality, to wholeness. In one big sweep, everything is being cleansed and cleaned and taken care of. That speaking from wholeness, from awareness, you are not fragmenting anything. You don't need to rehearse or think, well, if I say this, is that, do I want to say this? Everything becomes natural and spontaneous. There's almost a natural filtration of what needs to be said, and you can start playing with form as well. You can choose to, oh, I'd like to, you know, whether it's even talking about something that may not seem, in quotes, spiritual or important, or talking about sports or politics or anything in the space of that attentive awareness, what will be said, there'll be a quality to it. The behaviors that happen, it will be synced up with life itself, the totality of life. And so the only one crime against life, to make believe that you are something other than life. And of course, the idea, the thought that we are separate is the basis of all suffering. So any action outside of the wholeness, there is suffering. And it may not be immediate, it may be down the line, there may be something that comes up, that all of this action or opinions or something that was out of the, what's from the individual, then perhaps that needs to be cleared up. That may rise to the surface in the form of pain or emotions. And so it's the undoing. It's not, I have to do these 101 things to be more spiritual or be more at peace. You are that peace. That is your fragrance, your natural way of being. And of course, now we have this mental structure, this software that requires us to transcend that now, to move above, through those tendencies, to dissolve, to clean up. And so, with no intention of demeaning human beings, let me say that when I looked at people, I saw them only as bags of karma. I still do. Some are huge sacks. Some are small bags. Some are just an envelope. The nature of the load may be different in terms of quality and impact. Lighter karmic content brings life to ease, and how you deal with each individual naturally arranges itself based on this. When you are karmically lightweight, people approach you with much greater ease. If 100 people are sitting before me right now, and I focus on one person, I can feel their specific vibration separately, and with that I know their entire karma. I may not know what they did in a previous life, whether they married, had children. I may not know the details, but I know the quality of their karma. I know whether the dominant quality is hatred or anger or peace. The moment I see a person, I know that. To know the details, one needs to enter a person's unconscious mind. This is a different dimension. But simply seeing the karmic bag can give me a feel of their karma. However, whether it is a large sack, a smaller bag, or an envelope does not necessarily mean less or more karma. It is the density of the material that makes a difference. In fact, an envelope may contain much more karma than any sack can contain, but the difference is of refinement. Karmic substance gathered in fear, anger, hatred, and jealousy will create a density that makes it hard to carry and also hard to approach. And hence, the whole tradition of dividing karma into good and bad is a facile demarcation. But the more refined load is undeniably easier to carry. A sack could contain loose cotton. An envelope could have the weight of an epic. So, with that being said, we can pause it there for this reading and just reflect on this last section. And maybe it will give us a sense of our own karmic load. And perhaps this can be done in a sort of safe space when there is the energy to almost investigate and look into that ourselves. Our own intuitive awareness of our karmic makeup. And maybe you may not be able to fully understand the karmic load that one carries, that you carry, but you may be able to get a sense of it as well, just with the sense of events in life. Where the thoughts go each day. For example, if you're in a car quite often and there's road rage, there's this, maybe you could view that and notice it to think, well, you know, how long have I been driving for and how often does this occur? And not to get too drawn into details, but just looking at how life is lived. Through these almost karmic glasses, you can perhaps get a better sense of, wow, am I making all of these impressions? Am I adding more of a karmic load to my life? Do I need to, for instance, after perhaps careful consideration, end a certain connection with somebody? Or if it's a life situation, moving or a job, or but maybe it gives us a sense now to see where in life we are adding to things, where can life be more at ease? Where can you bring more ease into your life? So it's now bringing life, a new clarity to life, the impressions, the actions of our karmic substance, karma being created. And if we are here to clean up, to dissolve our karma, then this now becomes, perhaps life now is viewed in a totally new way. Perhaps the most simple and potent is life is this moment. Anything before or after is just thought, is projection. Thank you for joining me, and I'll see you again very soon. Take care.